in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another edition. We're going to go Megapod here on Bison Report Radio. I'm your host, Ross Uglum, publisher of Bison Report for the 24/7 Sports Network. And joining me is our top football analyst, our only football analyst at this time, Trevor Gebhardt. How you doing, buddy?
So in other words, I'm the best, yeah, and the
absolutely
worst.
Absolutely. You're top one.
We've got to clear the air here. And I'm going to send my apologies for committing a sin against rule number one in sports.
Oh, geez, yeah.
And that is never doubting the mighty Bison. I did predict them to lose to Eastern Washington. The reasons were valid. And clearly I was very, very, very happy to be proven wrong and very excited to see this team play to the capabilities that we know they have. So kudos to the Bison and the coaching staff for winning a very tough matchup against Eastern Washington and getting down early. It looked ugly early. Everything we predicted looked like it was going to come true early on.
I remember if it was you or Sam I was talking to, I said, boy, there was a point in time where if you were holding an Eastern Washington plus +7 ticket, you felt like the smartest man in all of America when it was 14 rip, and then things got real sad real fast.
Well, yeah, that's very, very true. They overcame over 20 points, and then 35 unanswered later. Yeah. Here we go. So sounds like Iowa State all over again. But, you know, it's fun to watch as a fan, alumni, former player, whatever title you want to call myself, to watch this group be galvanized the way they were this past weekend. I had my doubts. We were very open and candid about it in the last pod, and I'll be the first to raise my hand when I'm wrong. Like, there's nothing to it, and especially when the Bison do well, I'm very happy to be proven wrong. So kudos to them. Excited for the Sam Houston State matchup, which we'll get into. But definitely wanted to clear the air as far as last week's predictions go.
First time without question. Now, look, I get it, right? Like, it's not that impressive, Ross. First time in the history of Bison Report Radio that I've ever been wrong twice in a row on football. Because I predicted a win against South Dakota State, predicted a loss to EWU, and I lost two predictions in a row straight up. That has never happened before. Granted, North Dakota State just doesn't lose back-to-back games. So if you're like me, and the EWU prediction, I went back and looked, was my first prediction against North Dakota State since Iowa, which, by the way, again, wrong. But I had not, you know, I had not picked a loss in 18. I did not pick a loss in 19. And that ended up being obviously accurate. 2017, I whiffed on the loss at South Dakota State. And again, you have to go all the way back to at Iowa. I picked the Bison to lose by 4 and they won by 1. But I've never been wrong on a prediction two times in a row. So it's new territory, I believe. And this is what I want to ask you, because I think this is kind of – we can break down the game a little bit. Like, people are listening to this on Wednesday. They've heard and seen plenty of breakdown at this point, would be my guess.
Right.
Just because we'll be transparent with you guys. It's, you know, almost 10 o'clock Trevor's time on Tuesday. We just couldn't get together, didn't get together Sunday or Monday. It just didn't happen. Can this team beat South Dakota State? Because this is what I want to know. I mean, do you feel like now, Can you look back on that South Dakota State loss? Because both of us, after that game, we went and said, South Dakota State's a better team. Neutral field, they win 7 or 8 times out of 10. Yada, yada, yada. Now, after EWU, I think at least a part of you has to go back and say, well, what if NDSU just played bad? Because, like I tweeted out from the Bison Report account, for whatever reason, these guys just played terrible defense for 5 quarters and then stopped playing terrible defense. They just stopped doing it. And you wonder, was this a situation where South Dakota State just had a month to prepare? Another situation, UND, 5 weeks off. They looked like the new, like, you know, if you remember that line from Remember the Titans, who are these guys? The New York Jets? Like, they looked like an NFL team as they just blasted away at Missouri State after 5 weeks off. I know everything, rest versus rust. I've heard all arguments for all sides. What I want to know from you, Trevor, is on a neutral site, which is the only way you're getting the Jacks, baby, on a neutral site, after this EWU game, was the South Dakota State game a hiccup? Can this team, barring significant injury for either side, I mean, pretty much the teams that faced off before, can they beat South Dakota State?
Football is such a what have you done for me lately?
Well, let's stick a fork in there, done. We'll see you in the fall.
Yeah, like that's how it was, what, 7 days ago. I'm losing track of time here. But, I mean, yeah, short answer, yes, they can. I mean, they're capable. We've talked about this group. They're very capable of winning in Frisco. We've expressed our doubts, and we've explained why, and I think everybody has echoed that same sentiment. I mean, it's a young group. They've been inconsistent, and they haven't proved that they could play like this every single week. And they had the SIU hiccup. They played better against UND. They play like that, they're going to be extremely, extremely tough if they play the way they did against UND after that SIU loss. But then, of course, you get to the end of the regular season and you have the hiccup against South Dakota State. So the player in me says, get by Sam Houston State first.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got two more roadblocks to get there. But it's fun that I don't have to do that anymore, even though I cringe. Like, you ask me the question and I'm cringing. Like, my chest is hot. It is fun to look at. That would be a fantastic matchup for FCS football. I mean, it would be tremendous. Like, even the semifinals. Like, you look at the storylines if UND – or, excuse me, North Dakota State plays James Madison or UND. Like, both of those are a dream scenario for the subdivision. And then furthermore – if South Dakota State takes care of business, which they should, and makes it out of their side of the bracket, and then you get a, I know they don't play for the marker, but a Dakota marker rematch. So, it would be the best thing for the subdivision to get those big names, those big matchups, those heavy hitter, heavyweight title fight type games. So I'm personally rooting for that because the revenge factor too. I know the players would be licking their chops.
They and South Dakota State danced on some graves.
They did. And it'll be, I mean, hindsight's 20/20. It's hard to know, and it's really hard to say, hey, this was the reason why they won. You could look at it from two different spectrums. I mean, the spectrum that we were talking about Sunday after South Dakota State was they're a better football team, bar none. You know, and they showed it, they proved it, they earned that. That's why they're the one seed. No one, if anyone has a valid argument, they don't, because that doesn't exist. South Dakota State is the bona fide one seed coming to these playoffs.
And
now,
by the way, proven what conference has what power. 4-1 from the Valley. 3-0 against non-Valley opponents. You know, the one Valley loss came to a Valley team.
So, I think UND and North Dakota State can both win these games. I think the opening line with JMU is -1.5 or 2.
Yeah, it's at 3 now. It's at 3.
Okay. It doesn't surprise me that that line has moved that way. You're probably getting a lot of bets from the state of Virginia for that. But if UND pulls that off, I'm not going to say I'm shocked. That's just my two cents.
I'd be a little shocked just because Bubba Ball has been murder everyone in the potato barn and then go on the road and play poorly. And that's what they did, again, was kick somebody's ass in the Alaris Center. In the home
playoff game.
And then, you know, for that program and what Bubba normally does on the road to go into Harrisonburg, Virginia and get a dub, I would be shocked. Could it happen? Absolutely. But I personally would be shocked.
So the only thing, yeah, I mean, that's a little bit better insight. I just, my take on it was James Madison was underwhelming against VMI. I mean, it's VMI. They had that 99-yard touchdown run early. And after that, you know, I think they jumped ahead and they didn't really do a whole lot after that. I think they won by 7. I don't think
DMU is that good.
So as far as like being battle tested, that's where I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if James Madison won by 30 either.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think UND blows them out, but I think they're more than capable of winning. And then on the other game, which of course is our game against Sam Houston, obviously NDSU's favored. I'll predict them to win. I think most people probably would that follow the subdivision. They just match up well. Going on the road is unique, so that'll be fun to watch, especially with this young group. And seeing if they can keep the consistency alive after what they did the last three quarters, and more so in the second half against Eastern Washington. Can they carry that momentum to Huntsville with them? So that's what I'll be looking for, just like everybody else. And then the other side of the bracket, if South Dakota State does come through, obviously you'll have a Valley team in the semis out of that game with SIU. It would be... I think you're going to get a very good football game that a lot of eyes would be on if that matchup were to happen in Frisco, to go back to your original question.
All right. Biggest takeaway for you from that game? I mean, what do you take with you? And I'll give you mine, but what do you really take with you from that game and kind of go forward into the season feeling pretty good about what you saw? And what I guess what I'm asking is, look, like we've said, this team, the highs of the ass whipping they handed out to EWU and the one they handed out to UND and the lows of SIU and SDSU, guess what? That's what happens when you have kids, actual kids playing everywhere, 18, 19, and 20-year-old kids, when so many championships were won at North Dakota State by 22 and 23-year-old men. And I'm not saying that these guys can't do it, but those ups and downs are what you get, man. I mean, that is what you get when you have a group this young. So what do you think gets kind of carried forward?
As far as what I saw against this past Saturday?
Yeah, what you saw against EWU.
I was very encouraged by the number of guys that stepped up. So that spoke volumes to the depth that this team can and that I foresee having moving forward. You had Dom Ganellig have his coming out party. 20 rushes, 163 yards, 2 touchdowns, and had a 42-yard run. Within that, average 8.2 a carry. And he looked every bit the part. I love his baseball swing, by the way. That was awesome. Somebody had a tweet. Was it, it might have been Keith. He was talking about, like, did you get it? And it's like, yes, we got it. I thought that was hilarious. So somebody, oh, and then I saw something else. somebody asked what happened. I don't know if it was on a Facebook page or if it was on Twitter. Somebody asked what happened in the second half. And I believe it was Twitter. And somebody said the pro baseball player went off. So I thought that was pretty good. Jalen Bussey, 11 yards a carry. This man is slippery. Like, he is fun to watch. He's electric.
He's like that kid that gave you guys all those fits from Indiana State.
Stop it. I'm leaving. You have a good night.
You
I don't want to talk to you anymore. You know how many games we would have won in a row had that game not happened?
The two things for me are obviously it's Cam Miller's team now. I mean, that is number one, and it's like it's fine. Look, how many teams of the ones that you actually think can win it? There's a lot of teams with true freshmen. I mean, Gronowski, Schuster, and Cam if you said, okay, you got $1,000 and I'll give you even money that the national championship quarterback is a true freshman, I'm taking that bet all day long. Because I get UND, I get NDSU, and I get South Dakota State. I love that bet. You know, the only thing is the kid from Jacksonville State seems to be pretty good. And I don't think he's a true freshman. But it's Cam Miller's team now. Zeb's eyes are forward to coaching and are forward to helping Cam Miller be a better player and helping the offensive staff and doing a bunch of wonderful things. And if you guys haven't yet, my God, go back and listen to my podcast with Trey. And not because I did it. I'm not bragging, whatever. His commentary on Zeb Noland is something I think every Bison fan should hear, especially those that were tough on Zeb. Did Zeb play well? No, he did not. That's fine to say. It just is what it is. But go listen to what Trey has to say about Zeb Noland and about Zeb Noland's future. And the second thing is, oh my God, did you see Cordell Volson block three people?
Dude, I didn't know. I put out a tweet. I called him the diesel transporter. Like, I sat there and watched that tape and didn't hit send for, I bet, about 5 minutes. Because I was in awe. That was art. Hang it in the Louvre tomorrow. Like, dude, you know, just bravo, man. Like, that's Bison football. Like, just show that to recruits and say, this is what's expected of you. Like, this isn't, like, we're not going to ask you to do this. We're expecting you to do this. And it is tremendous. I absolutely love it because I played with his brother. It just epitomizes everything that Bison football is about. And I, hats off, kid. That was tremendous. I absolutely love it.
So my O-line guy for Packer Report is a GA or was a GA for UW Whitewater, one of the best Division III programs in the whole country. He's like, that's dumb. And I said, well, you guys didn't teach the backside tackle to front side backer to strong safety combo block? You guys didn't go over that one? And man, if you get a chance to, folks, I don't know. Maybe I might have to post it. I'm not sure as though NDSU. I know they post Matt's press conference. I got him to laugh finally. Did you? I don't know if you saw that, but I did get him to laugh.
What did you say to him?
He goes, oh, we're talking about Courtney Eubanks. And I just said, whether they get Dawson back or not, has Courtney basically forced himself onto the field? And Matt said, yeah, if you look at the all 22, you'll see that kid's not scared of anybody. I said, Matt, I'll look at the all 22 whenever you're ready to share it. He thought it was funny. Yeah, he thought it was funny. I got him to break character there for just one quick second. But I'll tell you what, it is recorded. I'll put it out on Bison Report today for you guys. Listening to Jake Rock describe watching Cordell do that is one of the coolest things that I've had an opportunity to do in NDSU media. I asked him what it looked like from his vantage point when his teammate blocked three guys on one play. And he kind of walks us through the sequence from his point of view, being right tackled to the right guard. Very cool. Where am I getting at with all this? That's your offensive line, folks. Like, Gray, we'll miss him. I appreciate everything that Kubis has done for the program. Both Kubises, Kubisai, Kubasi. I don't know what the plural of Kubis is, but moving Cordell into guard really emphasizes his nasty, and he has so much nasty. And I really thought Jake Rock played well, and so I think your offensive line moving forward is absolutely Malk, Jensen, Sundell, Volson, Rock. And that's the one that it looked, and I know how much better South Dakota State's defense is up front than Eastern Washington's. I'm not an idiot. But at the same time, NDSU's offensive line played significantly better in this game, whether you're talking about opponent or not. So that's what I'm moving for. All right, real quick, Trev, if you want to, you got the fancy new setup. You can pull this up and see if you have any disagreements. I've got the I'm going to drop it for you here, buddy, in the chat. There it is.
Kev.
All right. I am going to make my stone cold predictions for tomorrow. And, well, technically Friday. Tomorrow and Friday. I've got Trey Lance going number 3 to the San Francisco 49ers. I think it's been the plan all along. Him running read option with Juszczyk and their backs and Kittle and Debo, like jet sweeps with Debo. It's just, it's absolutely terrifying stuff. I'm going to go next guy up. I'm going to go Dylan, 42 to the Giants, top-ish of the second round. I feel like they don't love how the Nate Solder thing has gone. For monetary reasons, they just released the, probably their best offensive lineman in Kevin Zeitler, who's a guard. And I don't know as though they love how their center's playing. I think there are a number of places, especially if you're going to kind of commit to Daniel Jones and Saquon, et cetera, moving forward, that you just figure out one of your spots on the offensive line that you want to upgrade and you pop Dylan Raiden's in there. And that's, I think, too, from a value perspective about where he's going to go. I think, you know, some people did talk about him as a potential fit in the bottom of round one, and this is going to sound biased. If it's the bottom of round one, you need to be looking at Green Bay because that is a team that's going to take a 6'5", 300-pound, soaking wet offensive lineman and use him in that Alex Gibbs, Shanahan, LaFleur, McVay wide zone scheme. And they get their offensive lineman moving. They're not trying to necessarily grab you in your breastplate and move you 3 yards. That's not what Dylan's great at. He's an athlete, and so if what Pelissero says today on NFL Network and Dylan really is a bottom of the first round guy, he might be staying in green and yellow. And finally, I'm going to give my Jabril prediction, and this is mostly because I want it to happen. 58 Kansas City Chiefs. The only franchise that has been wanting a linebacker who can cover longer than Packers fans, and Trev knows this because he is one, but the only franchise that has been wanting a linebacker that can cover longer than Packers fans are Chiefs fans. They won the Super Bowl with a tackling dummy and an upturned broom with a bucket for a head at inside linebacker. They were so bad at inside linebacker the year that they won the Super Bowl, and they haven't really gotten any better. I love Damian Wilson and Reggie Ragland as run defenders. In coverage, they are a sad story. And Tyrann Mathieu and those safeties covered up a lot of issues with their linebackers, and it would just be such a cool story for Jabril to go home. He's from Raytown, Missouri. Him putting on that Chiefs, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it right now. Him putting on, he's got a huge family, mom, sisters, brothers, etc. Him putting on that Chiefs red and yellow would just be sick. He'd be on a contender right away. It's a team need and fit. I would be so happy for the young man. So I got Trey at 3 to San Francisco, Dylan at 42 to the Giants, and I've got young Jabril at 58 to the Kansas City Chiefs. You got any draft takes down there in South Carolina, Trevor?
Okay. I don't have a lot. I'm not really in tune with the draft side of things, especially the way you're. I really just don't have the time to dive into it. But
understand that.
I will say this, like, yeah, I will say these three cats, I'm just, as a former player, I'm super proud because it's great exposure for the program. They're going to be able to speak about the program, and they're representing a brand of football that I feel is superior and is necessary to propel the game forward. And I feel like it's playing the game right. I'm obviously speaking from a biased standpoint because that's what I knew and that's the way I was trained and that's the way I approach things, and things worked out for myself in that regard as far as my career and what I was looking to get out of it. But I just think another thing that doesn't get talked about enough is all three of these guys, I haven't had a chance to interact with them much, if at all. And the only things that I hear about them are positive. And so the fact that it's those type of people that are getting these opportunities to represent the Bison is what I'm very proud of, because I know that they are going to be representing the green and gold in the best way possible. So wherever they go, I'm super proud. Jabril, just from you talking about that, that would be so cool. Awesome if he got to go home. You know, if he got to go home, I think that would be tremendous. I know he's, from what I've heard, he's a family man. So, you know, I'm just super proud to encompass it. I do have one prediction about number five. I think he's going to Atlanta at four. And I'm going to make another bold prediction with that, because I thought of this today, actually. He's going to go to Atlanta at four, and there will be a statue of Trey Lance at some point in that city.
So he's going to bring a Lombardi home.
So there's my bold prediction for the Atlanta Falcons. This is as I'm wearing a Georgia Southern shirt, too, by the way.
I was going to say, someone's going to let you handle that. I just, looking at that, it's like, man, your wife truly is in charge. I mean, there's no question about it. There's absolutely no question about it. Okay.
She doesn't listen to the pod, Ross.
Okay? I'm not going to get any Carla points, unfortunately. Okay, so I want to run this by you, because you want to talk about, and of course, folks, we're still in the state of North Dakota where it is illegal. See, this is for entertainment purposes only. I believe North Dakota State are 3-point favorites currently. Meaning on a neutral field, they're 6 points better than Sam Houston because the Bearcats get the home three. I want to read this off to you, though. 2011, you are a redshirt freshman and you're hurt, correct? Yep.
Correct, yep.
The margin of victory is 11 points. You always remember your first time. That was a hell of a Saturday, man. I'll never forget. 2012, margin of victory, 26 points. 2014, margin of victory, 32 points. Last but not least, 2017, margin of victory, 42 points. So I must ask, why in the hell are the Bison only laying three? I mean, I just feel like, look, yeah, this is a flawed version of the Bison, but my God in heaven, I don't know what the average is there. It's got to be in the 30s. And just because of that 117-6 game, really.
Yeah.
The Carson and on era Bison, 32, 42. And 42. I mean, this is an average margin of victory of 38 points. Talk me.
I love it when we play Syracuse in the playoffs.
Saying. Talk me out of the Bison blowout, because I'm having a hard time doing it myself.
No, I can't and I won't, because for a number of different reasons. And I'm not watching the tape. You know, I'm not as into it, but in my 4 years, we played them three times in the playoffs. Never once was worried about coming out of that game with a victory, because they were all by double digits. And furthermore, the 2017 game where they won by infinity, I think you're going to get the same result simply because of the conferences that each team plays in and then their style of play that translates into wins in the playoffs in FCS football. That is why, to me, it's just the same story, different year. And sure, things can change. Wonky stuff can happen. Wonky things can happen. But I don't know. It just seems to be the same old, same old. They put up a bunch of points against teams in the Southland, and then they play against a team that has a physical brand of football. And this team has seemed to found some sort of momentum against Eastern Washington, and you have a similar type of matchups in terms of the physicality of what these teams bring on the field for four quarters. Eastern Washington wasn't used to that. Their sword got broken by the end of the game. They got broken at halftime. They weren't even winning at halftime. They were down by one at halftime. You know, so Sam Houston, they might start out hot. I don't know. Their first 10, 15 plays are going to be scripted. So they might score the first drive or two. Same things. Don't panic. Keep playing your brand of football. And their sword will eventually break. Because I know those boys in Huntsville don't like that physicality. You just keep coming at them and coming at them and coming at them. And they fold. They don't like it.
I mean, you could tell, like Matt said today, like they're, and they had PJ Hall last time. You know, that guy, he's still in the league. It says they're deeper and better on the defensive line, and they might be. But also, like, here's the deal, folks. Matt's not going to sit up there and say, yeah, these guys suck and we're going to roll them. Like, that's just not going to happen. He could.
Right. Especially yeah, in the playoffs. He could have
2012 UND that lost to Sioux Falls on his schedule, and he'd be like, well, the Bubba plays a tough brand of football, and blah, blah, blah. And that's his job. It's not your job to put bulletin board material up on you know, somebody's wall. Apparently that's my job. I did a great job.
You just threw NAIA, University of Sioux Falls football shade at UND.
Bro, it that. Happened.
You found it a happened. Way to do that. It did happen. I was listening to it on happened. The radio. And it was incredible. I couldn't believe it. Like, I remember listening to it on the radio. I think I was committed. I think I was a senior in high school and I was committed. And that happened. And I went absolutely.
Probably checked your paperwork to make sure it was the right North Dakota University.
Right. Grant's brother's on the staff.
Yeah. Luke. Yeah. Because yep, he, Luke. I think, had a GA position or a quality control position at North Dakota State for a minute. And it.
Yeah, he's reached out to me a couple of times because, I mean, obviously he's in Sioux Falls, so, you know, I've connected with him and whatnot.
Yeah, because I think he got a legit, like, position coach opportunity at Sioux Falls after being a QC guy with NDSU.
Yeah, he's linebackers or DBs, I think.
So we're not going to get too deep into the weeds here. We're already 31 minutes into the show. Styles make fights, and NDSU remains a terrible matchup for Sam Houston State, in my opinion. I'm going, I believe, in this offense again. And I even think that there is another level when you completely, and it goes back to the old adage, when you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. Okay, they have a quarterback. His name's Cam Miller. I think, honest to God, and this is one of the biggest, for me, pulls from that Trey Lance interview, the kid's name is Camden. I would have assumed for all the money in the world he was Cameron Miller. I think his name is Camden. That's what Trey called him.
We got it. We got to figure this out.
Big scoop.
His name Camden. Is Camden.
Yeah.
Wow.
I could have.
What? Use your. You have a breaking news thing on your new touchboard. Hit
so
that.
Anyway,
button.
Young Camden Miller from Solon, Iowa, is your quarterback. So I get it. Like, people. I even saw on social. Well, what do you mean they won because Cam was in there? He was 5 of 11 for 50 yards. Like, well, he had the threat of the run. He made the plays that needed to be made. And you saw some of his incompletions too. Like, that fade ball to Watson was placed perfectly. That was a 10 out of 10 defensive play to break that up. His ball placement is better than Zeb's, frankly. He can be a wild man. Like, there is one play a game where you kind of wonder what he's doing. But now that they tailor the entire game plan to him and potentially tailor the passing attack to him, I wonder if there isn't another level for Watson, Babich, Gindorf, etc. Look, will they probably just try to grind Sam Houston into dust? Hell yes. I really do believe that. But I am extremely excited to watch an entire 60 minutes game planned for Cam Miller. I really am. And I believe in this offense, and I'm going 45-17. I am going an absolute barn burner. I think they're going to smoke them. Trev?
I'm going to go the exact same score as this last Saturday, because that's tend to happen in the playoffs. It's been really weird throughout the years. So I'm going to go the exact same score, 42-20.
All right. There you go.
With 200 yard rushers within there. I don't know who it's going to be, but there's going to be two of them.
Sounds good. All right, folks. Hope you enjoyed the Megapod. We've got probably I'm going to guess the order I'm going to drop these. So we did Trey yesterday. Today, obviously, Trevor and myself with the Eastern Washington recap and the Sam Houston State preview. And on draft day, we're going to drop the second edition of the draft series. We have Kansas State offensive line coach Connor Riley. Connor, obviously, having spent significant time with Dylan while he was at North Dakota State. And then we've got actually Coach Entz for about 10 or 12 minutes and talking about Jabril Cox. And we went into everything. It's great. I mean, we went into recruitment of a high school quarterback, turning him into linebacker, his first days in practice, the oohs and ahs from everybody watching a guy move like that, and the pain, frankly, of investing that much into a young man just to have him go to LSU and kind of that entire conversation. It was really cool stuff. So I hope you guys check out the Draft Series pod tomorrow and have a phenomenal weekend. It's going to be a heck of a Bison weekend. Thursday, expect Trey to go. Friday, expect Dylan and Jabril to go. And Sunday, expect a big Bison win.